There is only one force of history that can break the reign of hatred.
It's the B generation. It's day up.
Dreams come true.
Don't tell it like it is. Tell it like it could be.
Wax. Poetic.
Poetry is just as corrupt as figure skating.
I will speak to more souls than our Lord did in his entire lifetime.
Wax poetic.
No, you know, I really just like the sound of my own voice.
Now I've heard everything.
This is Wax Poetic with S.R. Duncan, R.C. Weslowski, and Diane LaLoge on Co-op Radio 102.7 FM. Good afternoon and welcome to Wax Poetic here on Co-op Radio 102.7 FM. I'm one of your hosts this afternoon, R.C. Weslowski.
I'm your other host, Mark Steinberg.
And our guest today, and we're very happy to have her here, is Christine Lowther. Hi, Christine.
Hi.
Nice to have you here. And
thank
as
you.
We usually do, we like to get our guests jumping right in with something of their work to share with us and our listening audience. So take her away.
Canine Sky. We did not know what pulsed inside to cause such persistent wonder. We worried about you. Unfamiliar with wide awake, you had seen the coyote in the sky, connected it to your poems, to poetry. Now that you are gone, it takes effort to pull a sleeping bag outside when the moon dances again behind small, patterning patches of cloud. It takes exertion to continue searching for what you saw, what woke you up. There is no such thing as fluke. The sky was all cloud collage, soft, kaleidoscope of white and black, slowly rotating as one piece, monumental cloudscape interpreting a universe available to anyone awake, anyone looking. The full moon seemed to move more quickly, sliding in front, slipping behind. You were disappointed, had hoped for a clear view of comets. We had long since gone to sleep indoors. It was clearly canine, perfect ears, long nose, brush-stroked facial fur. Already you marveled. There were two dark shadows right where the eyes should be. The skyscape never stopped revolving, yet the face remained, the bright moon continuing its do-si-do with the clouds on approach. And then the moon slotted down behind the face and lit up the coyote's eyes, set them blazing to life, their cislunar gaze upon you who cried out and lay there gasping, but not looking away. No, you would not dare blink. How long that face blazed, you were never certain, and now we are left peering through murk and gray overcast, longing for the light that slotted in behind your eyes and set you on fire.
Wow.
Nice.
That's beautiful.
It really happened.
That's sweet. Now, is that about a dog and a coyote, or who's meeting the coyote? I don't.
Actually, it was me. I had that experience.
Oh, sweet.
But sometimes you have to step outside of yourself because there's so many I's in poetry and so many U's.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's a U, obviously, in this one, but so many I's, too many I's.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Yeah.
I get that frustration, too, of going out to the country and wanting to see the stars or something, and it's a cloudy night or it's raining, and it's like, I came out of the city to go hang out at Harrison Lake, and why is it raining? I wanted to see the stars. And I was like, it's going to be frustrating.
Where I live in Clackwood Sound, it rains so often. And, in fact, all of June last year, the entire month, we called it January because it was just gray, endless gray, and the longest days of the year, and they were just gray. And also, you know, you want to watch the meteor showers in August, and we call it Foggest. And, you know, it's just, anyway, don't even get me started on that one.
Do you have a different name for each month of the year?
No.
just those two.
Exactly.
I like Foggist.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
That's good.
Yeah, we got a lot of tourists complaining.
Oh, yeah?
About that.
That's not on the brochures?
No, it's not. They don't even tell people they're going to a rainforest.
The sneak attack.
Yeah, the sneak rain attack. Well, nice. Well, you're here sharing some poems from your new book entitled My Nature. Do you want to tell us a little bit about the book?
Sure. So I live half the year in a float house or a float home, and about 20 minutes by motorboat outside of Tofino, or an hour and a half by kayak. And a lot of the book is about the experiences I have, but I consider myself half urban or suburban and half non-urban. Mm-hmm. So the book, even though it is a lot about nature, it's really hoping to not put off people who don't like nature poems. Mm-hmm. And there's a whole story behind that. In fact, I'm feeling defensive lately about being a nature poet or a nature writer.
Why?
Well, put it this way. This was only one symptom of the whole thing. Poetry is Dead magazine, the last mm-hmm. issue that was out, their theme was an anti-nature theme. Mm. Okay. and I subscribe to that magazine and I enjoy it. And so they're most of their poems that were supposedly anti-nature poems were beer drinking, smoking, sort of, you know, these sorts of poems. And I mean, excuse me, but I love drinking beer at my float house. Mm-hmm. I like swimming and having my organic ale on the side, you know. So, and it was funny because that particular issue, there were two beautiful poems in that issue, and I'm telling you, they were nature poems. So they snuck in.
Uh-huh.
And so even lately, I've actually finally yesterday, I sort of wrote up this survey, and I've started sending it all out to people, asking them what, in their opinion, if any, is the stereotype of Canadian writing, and do they ever read nature writing? What do they think it means? What do they think urban writing means? Is there a rift? What do you want from each of those genres? Is there a class issue? And I'm already getting a few responses back.
And?
Well, some of the answers are very different. One person said that the stereotype of Canadian writing is that we're boring and nice, and I don't agree with that. Someone else said that we are not pastoral, but pastel. Actually, that was the editor of Poetry is Dead. Boy, I keep coming back to that guy, Daniel. And then a few people did say something I do like, which is that the Canadian stereotype of writing is that we're good and we're smart. But I think we're almost too smart because a lot of the writing is very, very intellectual.
And not from the gut necessarily.
Yeah. So, you know, I don't know. I don't want to get too much into that because...
Oh, why not? Let's go for it. It's interesting.
Yeah.
The censorship, I think, is up for it.
I know. It's just... You know, you get into a whole, okay, the taboo word of accessibility. Oh, don't say that word. Don't say that word, accessible. You know, okay, or Lorna Crozier will say, okay, don't say accessible, say clear. So we go for clarity. Well, to me, it's sort of the same thing. I want to be able to approach a poem. I want to be able to understand what on earth they are even talking about, coming from, referring to, or even, you know, are they on the same planet as me? So... Uh-huh. But that's just me. Some people, it's not that I'm lazy. I'm not, okay, maybe I'm a little bit lazy. Okay, yeah, okay, I might be a little bit lazy. But
in regards to what?
Well, I don't want to work too hard. Like, I don't want to have to spend 3 days trying to figure out a poem and have to look up every single reference.
Uh-huh.
I don't mind a few references. I don't mind a few words I've never seen before. That excites me. I like... interesting new words, I collect them. But if it's something, you know, completely out of left field and I have no idea, it's like, no, I don't have time for this. Life is too short. Oh, God, I sound really...
No,
I don't know.
It can be irritating when somebody's throwing in that stuff just to kind of throw them in and show how clever or bright they are. You know, like, oh, I know all the 12, or I guess there's not 12 letters in Scrabble, but however many there are in Scrabble, you know, like, I know all the, and put them in my poems and, you know, ha, 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 did you get that or not? You know?
Okay, well, here's what I do to look clever,
mm-hmm.
which doesn't work.
Oh, come on.
I like to drop in... the odd pop culture reference.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't know. Some people might think that's kind of trashy. But, yeah, I've got the odd pop culture reference to Star Trek, Buffy the Vampire Slayer, Harry Potter. You know, and these are nature poems. And I worked really hard on them. And they're not bad. But every once in a while, you'll be like, what is that? Oh, it's in Latin. Oh, it's a Harry Potter spell. What? Oh, no.
It's a Harry Potter
gross.
Spell.
Oh, she sold out. Right? So, anyway. It came into a poem I was doing about lightning, of all things.
Yeah. Oh, neat.
Yeah.
That's fantastic, Dasha. It's really fascinating. Seriously. But I would like to hear something else from the book. The book is called My Nature, and our guest this afternoon is Christine Lowther, and you're hearing her and us on the Co-op Radio 102.7 FM.
What kind of poem do you want to hear?
Do you have the lightning and Harry Potter one?
Sure.
Let's do that.
Okay, so this was written after watching a documentary. So the title is From Watching Act of God. Perhaps lightning stirred the first living cells on Earth, small comfort to victims struck and made to vomit out their own organs, even as their friends run through the forest for help, zigzagging as if dodging bullets while the death bolts dance around them like spears, the air full of weapons striking down between trees or striking trees down. Perhaps the eccentric bisexual man struck three separate times, always in hot springs, and is consistently chipper because of why didn't he die? Why didn't he turn inside out or become charcoal or write a series of self-help books and appear on Oprah or start workshops on shamanism? I saw colors I had never seen on this earth. The park warden, who was struck seven times, each time with worse results, finally committed suicide. Why didn't he change careers? Perhaps you want to love lightning, but you've never had to live with it. If you know you're going to be at risk, remove all jewelry. Remember coins and pockets, underwire brassieres, the lady who tore off her belt and flung it, watched it spark and sizzle before hitting the ground, Vipera Ivanesca. Elastic bands around metal umbrella stems. Keep scissors closed. You've seen the unbelievable photographs, God-sized arteries of terrible light broken loose, a crane fly's mad rhythm magnified high as the moon, dancing with deadly intent all the way down to the dirt. You bet those devil rods are chasing you three times, seven times. The windows were open. Every branch began to hiss and then to sing, fluctuating wildly in volume and pitch. Then I realized it couldn't be the trees making this sound. Any personal movement brought increased zzzz. We were being tracked. When the whining reached its peak, the floor disappeared beneath me. I came to and she said, "Are you blushing?" She didn't know we'd been struck, both of us. Her eyebrows and eyelashes were gone. Every hair on the back of my hands was rigid. I looked at the nearest mirror to check myself, but the glass was black. Perhaps our deliberate God was random lightning just as magnificent. It has been said, to die by lightning is no ordinary death. It has also been said, no lightning, no life.
That's awesome.
That's a heck of a documentary. It's a bit morbid.
What's the documentary called again?
Act of God.
Uh-huh.
And it's all about people who've been struck by lightning, and a lot of people died, and the people who survived them. And then there's an extra, and it's about 25 minutes long, and it's also called Act of God. It was an original documentary from the 70s or 80s made in Britain, and it's absolutely hilarious. So it's a really weird sort of juxtaposition on this DVD, because you think they're being serious, and then they tell you about this poor fellow who committed suicide after getting struck by lightning seven times, and it's so morbid, but it's freakishly hilarious at the same time. And to refer back to the bisexual man, he's someone I know.
Uh-huh.
He lives in the Tofino area, and he spends a lot of time in the hot springs. And every time, no, not every time he's been in the hot springs, he's been struck by lightning, but every time he's been struck by lightning, he was in the hot springs.
Wow. So would that be like it hit a rock nearby or went straight into the water or the lightning?
Oh, him. It hit him, apparently. This is what he says, and I believe him. Yeah. He's been in the tub or, you know, in those. Yeah. Have you guys been there? They're amazing hot springs. They're right on the ocean. Crazy, wild. I can totally imagine the place being struck by lightning and all hell breaking loose.
This is Tofino.
It's near Tofino. It's about a 2.5-hour boat ride from Tofino.
On the coast.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So.
Wow. Watch out for lightning if you go to Tofino.
No, we hardly get any lightning. Okay. Hardly at all. You guys get more lightning here, so.
That's amazing, though.
Yeah.
That's a great poem.
Thanks.
What's it called? Because I was trying to see.
It's called After Watching Act of God.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
When was that? Do you know about that? When did that documentary come out? When did you watch it?
In Tofino, the community theater, we have a Monday night movie series.
Okay.
So it probably isn't that old, though. They try not to bring in movies that are too old. But yeah, I don't know the date on that. Anyone could search it.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I don't know. So are you doing any readings around anywhere?
Okay, I just did a reading at Joy Kagawa House with George McWhorter and Joy Kagawa.
Mm-hmm.
It was amazing. It was just this beautiful experience, this house that they've saved, you know, and one of the very few left over from World War II that they confiscated from Japanese Canadians. And it was packed full of really great people, and I think that's only the second time I've ever heard George McWhorter read, and mm-hmm. Joy Kagawa, I mean, she's an angel. She had everyone, there wasn't a dry eye in the place, you know, because I did my reading, and then she started saying that I reminded her of my mother, you know, the late poet Pat Lowther, and of course, that always brings on the floodgates, and then my sister and I got to ride the bus afterwards with Joy, and so it's really cool. Anyway, so yeah, and then I did a launch and some readings in Victoria and did a book launch in Tofino, and I think that's it.
Nothing over here on this side of the wall?
Well, just the Joy Kagawa House was just done, so.
And where is it located?
It's in Marpole, 64th Street, I think, so.
Wow. I was just looking through and I only know the titles here. There were two that I was, by the titles, was interested in hearing.
Okay.
This Town is a Punk Rock Desert.
Oh, dear. Okay. Yeah.
And Cougar Night at the Climbing Gym.
Okay. See, those two are two of my rare, more urban poems. Okay. What page is the first
53.
One?
53.
Thank you. Okay, this one's a tad self-indulgent, but I grew up in Vancouver, and I was a punk rocker, and I loved DOA, and I still do.
Nice.
So, but this is about living in Tofino, which can be frustrating. So, this town is a punk rock desert. In the punk rock desert that is this town, I am surrounded by reggae lovers, mellow in the mosh pit of my yearning. I don't mind dancing if I can avoid getting whipped by flying dreadlocks. Let's make a sign, a smoke signal, SOS. Send us goth, punk, industrial, mind over music. In the surf culture that is this town, there is nothing counter. I strain for a sharp, awake attitude, an uncommon word to drop in on the fray of daily dude conversations while drinking Stella and shooting at beer cans from a mildewy window deep in the trailer park. I'd like to see those boys on boards hold me up as I crowd surf. In this town, city dreams fan wood stove flames, ferocious kissing in 2 a.m. doorways, merely a means of compensation, until wistful pillow talk turns upside down. The voice has changed, the hands that caressed toss me out the door into the ghost town night. When I hit the ground, it's like the first time I stage dived at a DOA show. No one there to catch me. Sudden awareness of my sore ass. An incongruent urge to laugh. But no crowd, no sound. I sprawl on wet grass in the status quo quiet. Wouldn't want to disturb the guests at the Five Diamond Hotel asleep after their hot stone massages. They'd never raise their arms to meet me in my lunge from the stage. So, you know, I mean, small town life, right? Kind of quiet in the winter, which is why I'm here for 6 weeks to get some nightlife. And I do apologize to anyone with dreadlocks and any reggae lovers who I may have offended.
Don't apologize. Don't be too nice. That's too Canadian poetry.
That's right. Too much standing in lines.
Oh, right, you wanted to hear that other one. Oh, man. Okay, what page is Cougar Night on?
96.
Okay, we got a climbing gym in Tofino, which was very exciting because, you know, it's a small town. Not a lot to do in the winter. Cougar Night of the Climbing Gym. So much for women-only night. Two big guys teach us figure eights, belaying versus bouldering, encourage us to ascend past the blue line. A woman calls, take, and swings Tarzan style across the gym, high enough for the likes of Jane. Her cries echo, the place smells like climbing shoes, stale sweat, triumph over fear. Try letting go, leaning back, arms at rest, feet bouncing off the wall. Off the wall. The men are light on the machismo and quick to share a joke. It's just me. I don't want them to see my butt sticking out from the unsexy harness as I cling ungracefully to the green root. One of them looks like George Michael from Wham, the high-layered blonde hair. This is called the frog, he says, limbs splayed over his shiny wall. He seems more of a salamander, breathing through his skin with as much aplomb. I am older to him, but bedded his friend just two nights ago. These things happen. Still, a tad scandalized when I snooped over my therapist's shoulder and saw her note, cougar and likes it. I am no predator unless stalking poems, frumpy here in my sweats, rented shoes, and hairy legs. But I hear the music and cry to my girlfriend, this must be our song. The screams of a wildcat, intermittent, boomerang between beats, filling the gym.
Awesome.
Oh, that's,
you know,
so
not
funny.
Not my best, you know, but... We try, right?
What do you think of the whole cougar naming phenomenon for women?
Well, I'm a feminist, so I'm not crazy about it, because where's the equivalent for men?
Apparently it's Manther.
Manther.
Oh. I just heard that the other day.
Well, you know, I haven't seen the show. I saw a trailer for it and was appalled.
For what?
The show, that Cougar Town or whatever.
Oh, I have no idea.
Yeah, I haven't heard about it either.
Oh, well, never mind that. And also, the thing about cougars is that now we can't talk about cougars without people instantly thinking you're talking mm-hmm. about women. And I talk about cougars a lot because
Our poems are with cougars in them, other than
yeah, that. I actually did come face to face with a cougar once. So, and I mean a mountain lion. So I'm not crazy about it.
Oh. Badger. Something about badger.
Someone's at the window. What?
It has badger. Oh, instead of cougar, they want badger.
Oh, I see.
Perhaps.
They want a woman to be called badger?
I don't know.
Or they want a man to be called badger?
I have no... Oh, for man... I don't know. He just put badger on the window.
Yeah. Apparently we've got...
You guys have weird stuff here.
We have like...
Oh, weird. For him. He just wants to be called a badger.
Yeah, but does he want to be an American badger or a European badger? They're two completely different animals.
I don't know. Really, we could ask him.
I don't know.
He's got a 7-second delay out there, so he'll hear it in seven seconds.
I don't know
seconds.
What, how much true. Time I've got, but I wouldn't mind doing a nature poem to sort of balance off those...
Absolutely.
Balance out the word police running past the...
We just wanted
just
to know.
Kidding.
Yeah.
Anyway, but yeah, I don't
sure.
know. How much time
probably
do we
got
have?
Time for one more, and then we'll
okay.
make a couple of announcements, and we'll tell people where they can actually get this book and track you down if you want to be tracked down on
Thank
the internet.
Thank you. Excellent. Okay, that would be great. So this poem is called At the Marsh End of the Lake, and the title is actually also works as the first line. So... At the marsh end of the lake, where one traverses by slippery fallen log, a marten crosses, sure-footed, sleek. Around the marten's head, blue damselflies flit and hover, laced turquoise, splinters of summer sky. In the tree above them, an eagle spreads muddy wings to dry. Her face and beak are smeared with mud. In the west, the mountain at last eclipses the sun. Even as peach glow infuses every needle, feather, and jewel wing, a half sky of Mordor dark cloud mass comes steamrolling across. Whole landscapes take shape within the mass. Continent-sized whirlpools eddy, moon crater gray, about to collapse in on themselves like black holes. Storm systems loom, piling one upon the other. The season descends. The damselflies will perish. Sounds begin to frame the air's soft edges, the mountain's last echoes of sea lions barking far away in the deep inlet. The horizon becomes a narrow breach between land and cloud cover, a chasm of light the cloudscape will squeeze shut. Then the sun stoops and peers through, a huge eye closing. It must traverse that rift, depart from the heavens, go to ground like the red fox it is. It seems a shock to hear nighthawks dropping their pinpoint calls down through the dusk, their flight threading electrical currents along the treetops. Their dives boom a warning, the marsh flashes white as the moon. The mountain trembles and thunder pounds down the troposphere. The eagle takes flight, morsels of mud raining from her wings.
Beautiful.
Thanks.
And you read that from this, your first book, is that right?
Fifth.
Fifth book. Fifth book.
Well, you embarrassed yourself.
I know. Well, we're on a
If we count all of them, then the ones that are yet to be published and the one that was self-published, this is number five, yes.
Number five. And this is called My Nature.
Yeah. Published by Leaf Press on the island.
So where can people get copies of this, aside from your readings that you're going to be doing multiple amounts of?
They can order them on Amazon. They can order them on chapters.ca. They can get them from Munro's in Victoria or Mermaid Tales in Tofino. What I do like to tell people is the best way to spread poetry books around, and they need it because not a lot of people read poetry, believe it or not, at least not in this country, is to order it from your favorite bookstore or library. And if they won't do it, find a bookstore that will. Mm-hmm. And that way the book gets spread out more, so we all help each other.
So do you know if it, did you say co-op books? Do you know if it's, you have any there on the
commercial
drug?
I don't think so, but that would be great if I did, because I like that store a lot.
Yeah, then I'm sure they would. That's perfect for anything that they would sell, I think.
Thanks.
Yeah. And also, if someone wanted to get in touch with you directly, how would they go about doing that?
Okay, they can try me on Facebook. There are quite a few Christine Lowthers, but I've got the cover of the front cover of my book as my profile picture.
And it says My Nature, is that right?
Yes, yeah,
and My Nature. And how do you spell your name, just in case anyone...
Christine, C-H-R-I-S-T-I-N-E, Lowther, L-O-W-T-H-E-R. They could also look at the Leaf Press website, or they could go to the League of Canadian Poets as well.
And I think Leaf Press is www.leafpress.ca, if I'm not mistaken.
Sounds right.
Okay.
That's great. Thank you so much.
Thank you, guys.
Coming
Thank
on the
you.
Show.
Awesome.
That was a nice surprise. I hadn't encountered your work before, so it's pretty sweet to get to hear it today.
Thanks. Yeah. It was fun to be here.
Nice. Anyhow, we're done. If you want to check out more information about what's happening, VancouverPoetryHouse.com, or you can go to PandorasCollective.com and check out the listings on both of those websites.
Don't forget to Facebook friend Christine Lowther.
Find her book, My Nature.
Get that book.
On Leaf Press.
Awesome.
Cool. Wait, I'm waiting.
Right. Operators are standing by.